When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Killer
Welcome
deal,
to Chaos
man.
Theory. Killer we are deal. Off and at it already, firing on all cylinders on this Thursday. Throwback Thursday, as Bucky and BK likes to claim. But yes, it is Chaos Theory. You can hit us up on Twitter, not the fake Wags. You can hit Rodney up on Twitter at the Rodney R, and then on the Instagram at the underscore Rodney R, and then I'm on there at the Wagner Wire. If you are mobile around the town and around the city, make sure you hit us up on that Coda text line, 512-222-9328. And remember, if you are in this YouTube channel, smash that subscribe button if you haven't done so already, and tell all of your friends. Rodney. Yeah, man. Rest in peace to O.J. Simpson. I just saw the news, too. It is out there on ESPN if anybody hasn't seen it. But, yeah, apparently he had cancer. I didn't even realize he was sick or ill with cancer.
You know, I noticed him on the Twitter a few different times.
Hey, Twitter world.
Because he would always say, it's yours truly.
And, yeah, he was taking my fantasy sports stuff away from me.
Yeah, he kind of seemed like he was struggling there a little bit. But, you know, it's one of those things to where I've always said Wags, and with this, and again, we're not sitting here making light of anything that happened there. But I've always said, whenever that dude was going to pass away, if it was like on his deathbed, if he did it, you know, that he would confess or like leave a note, or, and it would be like the biggest heist ever pulled off.
Do you think he did it? Do you think he did it?
Man, it's hard. It's hard to say.
100%.
It's hard to say.
100% think he did it, man. It was right after. And I think that he got off because it was right after the Rodney King trial or whatnot, where we, where, you know, the five white cops beat the hell out of Rodney King, the black civilian or whatnot. And hell, I was like in my teens. I can hardly remember that. But that's what I was going to ask you. Like, where were you at on the day of O.J. Simpson getting in that big car chase in the Bronco, man? And you just said that the Masters were on. Hell, I wasn't even watching the Masters at that point.
You really,
I think I was digging around with my own club.
Here's a great story. So what was actually on that night, it was, I think, game one of the Rockets and the Knicks in the NBA Finals. I and some buddies, 1994. I and some buddies had gone to Exposé on South Congress, right next to where Clear Channel is now. And we were over there enjoying, you know, we were going to watch a game. They had the game on, you know. And we're sitting there, and the ladies are entertaining us or whatever, and the game starts. And then
it's a Saturday afternoon, is it not? Or it's a weekend, I remember.
It was a night. I think it was a Friday night. I thought it was a Friday night or a Thursday night.
I remember a weekend because I remember the daylight. I remember like the sun with the sun glaring off of the white Bronco as the white Broncos. Yeah. It drove into the night.
Yeah. So we're at the strip joint. And I mean, this is all going on. And, you know, all the TVs are on the Rockets game. And then, boom, here it starts. It starts. And like at that moment, I had paid like the $20 for the personal dance or whatever. Very young back then, guys. Very young. I don't frequent these places anymore. and I remember, too.
He's got stakeholds in half of them.
This thing is going on. And like the girl like stops and sits on my lap and is like, oh, my God.
Oh, she just said, she stopped.
She
just parked it. She just parked it. Okay.
She stopped.
Okay.
And I was like, what's going on? That's where I was.
What's the best gentleman's club in Austin? I've only been to
Sal,
one, actually.
I am not lying, Sal. I am not lying, my man. I tell some tall tales sometimes, and I forget things that I don't forget for a lot of reasons. That really happened. I will find one of the fucking guys. Trying not to say that word. I will find one of the guys that was with me that can collaborate that story. That's what we were doing because of the basketball. Because of the basketball game that was going on. And yeah, like BK said, interrupted yet another sporting event. But you know, you can't take away when you talk about all-time great running backs, I mean, Duke was amazing.
Yeah, I just usually, like, I'm very reluctant to put him in my top five for some reason, especially, like, for all-time or old-school running backs.
Game five, okay. Okay, game five.
I think it's because I usually forget him. And I don't know how you forget about a 2,000-yard runner. Of course, when anyone's, you know, approaching that that milestone in a single season, you know, the list comes up and you see O.J. Simpson, and you're just like, Buffalo. But O.J. Simpson for Buffalo, it's just like, I think it honestly is because of Buffalo back in that era, that you just really kind of lose track and lose thought of O.J. Simpson, or at least that's my excuse or reason for it.
Yeah, and he ended up with the 49ers right at the end, but he was all broken down and beat up by that.
Yeah, washed out.
Yeah.
That's like seeing Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals.
With the Cardinals, yeah. And Jason makes a great point to what you were saying, Wags. You had all of that racial discontent that had happened right before that. And you can go and watch documentaries of the OJ thing. And it's like that was the reason why that this was a situation to where he was acquitted. I mean, you can figure out.
It weighed in. It weighed in a lot.
It did. It did. There was a lot that was going on.
We needed to simmer some stuff down in on the West Coast. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jake, yeah. 2,000 yards, 2003, as a matter of fact, in 14 games. Insane right there what he did. And then, you know, when Dickerson breaks that record, we're talking about Caitlin Clark's record. And it's like, well, you know, this the previous record from Pistol Pete Maravich, you know, they didn't have 3-point lines and all that. Should have an asterisk. I mean, all the rushing records that have been broken post OJ should probably have asterisks because he did that. And like you said, those Buffalo teams were not very good. They were not very good at all.
Do you put the asterisks on it? I mean, it's 14 games. Like, that's insane. That is absolutely insane.
Crazy.
Hell, I don't even know if they had a bye week back then.
No, I don't think they did.
I mean, that would even been more impressive because that would have been 13 games. But I think they just played 14 straight. Do you get 3 full games now? With 18 weeks, do you get 3 full games?
Yeah.
You get the bye. You got the bye, too. So, all right, remove one. So you get two full games, right? So what, people, running backs average maybe a century, a buck, a buck 10 or something like that. I mean, hell, not they don't even average over a century, man. Running backs are averaging under the century mark. For yards per game, rushing yards per game. Like, nobody's just averaging 100 yards. Like, when you get to 100 yards in a game, that's a milestone. Like, that's a good day for a running back, especially in a passing league these days. But back then, I mean, sure, I guess you could, you know, warrant or cater to the league of being a running league instead of a, you know, aerial attack, you know, wow the crowd, high paralysis offense in high scoring games. So I guess you could sit there and say that, you know, OJ was fed pretty much a lot more than all other running backs moving forward, but I don't know if I can put the asterisks on it.
Well, I mean, listen to this stat. I mean, 1973, so that was the year that happened, that OJ did that. 332 carries for 2,003 yards, 12 touchdowns in 14 games. That's pretty damn good, man. That is outrageous, man.
Yeah, man.
The rushing for 200 yards that season.
You have to figure he's got to have, you know, a few games close to 200 yards if he's, you know, eclipsing 2,000 yards in 14 games, man.
Yeah, that's just kind of looking right here. Started the season with 200 in game one, then ran for 219, dipped to 137, 124, 120, 157, 166.
To 137.
Yeah.
Dipped down to 137.
Yeah, 171. And then in the final game, 9/16, 1973, Wags, 250 yards.
That's outrageous.
OJ Simpson.
Now, if you got it pulled up, can you pull up his receiving stats by any chance? I'm curious. Yeah. Like, I've never delved into OJ Simpson's career.
Yeah, let's take a look.
As weirdly as that sounds, you know, we're talking about the immaculate and crazy season that he had, but I never even delved into it and looked, you know, dissected it, man, which is weird. Me being a data guy and whatnot, I never, you would have think that I would actually pull some stuff in like this.
Well,
no, man. Fascinating news. You know, I came on here and planned to talk about, you know, Mel Kiper's draft. That's why I tried to elude you from it, yesterday, man. I wanted to talk about it. I had it all set up to talk about it today, man.
That's all good.
That's a good. I need to start being better about that and telling you my plan.
That's okay. Hey, dude.
I talk about the plan all the time, but I never tell you the plan.
So back to OJ in that 1973 season. Three games he caught passes. One game three for 22 yards. Later in the season for 33 yards. The next game, 15 yards. Yeah. They were using his legs, man. He was hauling the mail, and he definitely did. So, and then all the other stuff. I mean, that was, man. I just hope somewhere that he has confessed to this, but just
so I don't remember him as the running back. I remember him as Nordberg from The Naked Gun. Like, that's where
those movies are great, dude. That's where I first had
a recollection of OJ. I think I was in second grade, 1989, is when I first saw The Naked Gun. And my grandfather was just like, "That's OJ Simpson." I'm like, "Well, I don't know who the hell OJ Simpson is." You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And here where Jason talks about, I mean, it really is in that book. If you haven't read this, I highly recommend it, especially now.
If I did it.
And the details are like juice. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Pretty vivid details. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I used to have a hillbilly buddy that would always tell me, "Don't bullshit a bullshitter." I read that book and I said, "Don't bullshit a bullshitter." And
so you guys remember Nordberg, really though. Puppet Master, you know damn well that you remember Nordberg.
That's my man John Molise right there. He knows who Nordberg is.
Nordberg, good to see you. And he hits Nordberg on the back.
Goes rolling down the stadium
and flips over. And you had the Queen. You had Reggie Jackson. I remember base.
I must kill the Queen.
I started watching The Naked Gun. Like, I wasn't going to watch it because it was a cop movie, right? And then my granddad gets me to watch it, and he goes, "It's a baseball movie. They have a baseball scene in here." I was like, "Okay, I'll watch it," because I was big. You know, I don't like the Yankees, but I was a fan of Reggie Jackson. That was actually because of my grandma. My grandma was a Reggie Jackson fan. Of all people, my grandma really loved Reggie Jackson just because of what he did in the World Series, of course.
He was handsome, man.
He was a good looking dude. I think my grandma was into him. That's for sure. So,
my grandma was into Tom Landry. So I'm like, okay, whatever.
I think my grandma was kind of into the Tom Landry as well. It's kind of hard to not be in the man with the hat if you were a lady back in those days, right? It got me to sit down and watch, you know, The Naked Gun. And then all of a sudden, of course, if you're a fan of Naked Gun 1, you're going to be a fan of Naked Gun 2 and what is it? 2 and a second? I don't even know. And then it's 3 and a 33rd. I don't know. 2.5. Naked Gun 2.5. That's the sequel for it. But
Shirley.
From the files of the police squad.
Shirley. Don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. Don't call me Shirley. No, that was Airplane.
Oh, that's Airplane.
Airplane, yeah. Stryker. And then, of course.
Stryker. Okay, that's Airplane, too. That's Airplane also.
Yeah, man. Stryker.
Yeah.
Airplane's a good one. All those classic comedies, man, with Leslie Nielsen. Leslie Nielsen, probably one of the kings of comedy that goes unsung, especially these days. Like, my kid don't know anything about Leslie Nielsen. Hell, I think I saw a clip or a snippet of Aaron Rodgers trying to teach classic comedy with Leslie Nielsen or whatever. Might have been, matter of fact, I think they were watching The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
They were teaching, you know, the rookies or whatever from the New York Jets about The Naked Gun and Leslie Nielsen or whatnot. Anyways.
It's like one hell of a spiel
about O.J. Simpson there.
When I'm doing these live events and, you know, I have to play the national anthem, it's like I want to play the Leslie Nielsen version, but it's like I probably should.
Rico Palazzo! Rico Palazzo! Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
He's calling a strike and he, you know, just unconfidently calls a strike, and then the crowd goes wild at the Angel Stadium, and then all of a sudden he gets into it.
He moonwalk in and all this.
He's all over the place, dude.
Yeah, there it is.
And you want to be an umpire.
That's right. Lieutenant Frank Drebin. Oh my God.
From the files of police squad. And everywhere I look,
I got to watch it.
Reminded me of my ex-wife. And he looks at the damn silos and sees the big titty silos. Oh, it's... Love it, man. If you haven't seen, do yourself a favor, do yourself a treat. In honor of O.J. Simpson, go watch The Naked Gun and see him as Nordberg, because that's what I know him as, and not I knew him as Nordberg the actor.
Yeah.
Not O.J. Simpson, the great running back.
Well, like we were talking about.
I kid. Tongue in cheek.
When he did those Hertz commercials, he would like fly through the air. And hell, he was on Monday night. The dude was
I don't remember the Hertz commercials.
Dude, you guys kept saying
the Hertz commercials. I don't remember the Hertz commercials.
Oh, man. Yeah. And he was a great football analyst. He used to be on. He was on Monday Night Football.
I do remember him as a color analyst
really
for
good. I mean, he was really good. And that's why when all that other stuff happened, it's like, you don't know. I always say, you know, when it's like, you know, my wife will tell me, can you believe so-and-so are getting divorced? I'm like, I've never lived with either one of them. I don't know out of the public image how they're doing, you know, so I don't know what it's like to live with them.
Because we mentioned USC in this conversation, right? And just hell, all the running backs that seemingly that came from USC. I you know, O.J. Simpson, and then the next one that pops off my mind is Marcus Allen. Mm-hmm. And then of course, just a whole plethora of running back or a slew of running backs that have gone through there. Is USC running back university?
I tell you, remember they had Charles White, I think the Heisman Trophy winner in 1978.
I mean, and then Reggie Bush. I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to put that question out there to the audience here. Is USC running back you? And if not, which university is running back university?
You know, the ironic Miami thing had right there.
Miami had themselves a nice little time with mm-hmm. running back too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Or hell, you could argue that Miami was NFL U for a while.
Where you mentioned Marcus Allen right there, if you really dig into the Chronicles and the whole story with Nicole Brown Simpson and all of that, in the middle of that, at one point, was Marcus Allen. So, okay.
Now, Daryl, like I know USC is known as running back. Maybe I misspoke, but okay. Is USC still known as running back U with all the new talent and crops that have come through? That's why I brought up Miami. Like Miami had themselves one hell of a damn day where they produced basically any position to the NFL. And I remember what it was Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee. Davenport. I mean, hell, you just go down the list, man. And Miami had running backs that they were just constantly just in succession of the next person that came through there. I'm not remembering too many big names after Reggie Bush, or at least they're eluding me right now from USC that has come out of that backfield.
Yeah, no, they haven't. I mean, it's kind of been like the quarterback thing, you know, after Matt Leinart.
Yeah,
I mean,
Georgia's been a damn powerhouse for running backs. And hell, you could argue that Georgia was pretty damn powerful. Did anybody come out of succession after Herschel Walker? Because Herschel Walker was
from Georgia. Georgia. I think
I remember they're sprinkled in between, but like not like back to back.
I don't think you had a transcendent running back after Herschel Walker with what he did there. Because remember the shit he would do? Like he would dive over. I saw Walter Payton mentioned right there. He would like do the Walter Payton, just fly over the, you know, in the red zone. And so, yeah, Todd Gurley there at
Gurley
Georgia.
From Georgia, yeah. See, in Georgia, like Terrell Davis was a Georgia running back, I believe, right? The running back for Denver back when Mike Shanahan had his run when Elway got his Super Bowls. Garrison Hurst, a running back for Georgia that I remember that used to pop off, man. He had what, that 99 yard run with the San Francisco 49ers, 99 yards from scrimmage. I would say Georgia's probably up there. What about Bama? Can Bama be thrown in there as modern day running back?
I think Alabama you would have to kind of factor in right now. I think Texas is on the cusp of that. As a matter of fact, honestly, if you look at Texas, I think you should factor Texas into this conversation too, because you can go back to Earl, you go back to Ricky, you can go to Mitchell. I mean, there's so many of these. I mean, look at Walkers.
Rodney, you hit the nail on the head, and you it must be like you're reading my mind or something. That's kind of where I wanted to finish this conversation up. Texas has had one hell of an all-time backfield.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at these guys, and I mean, you've had rushing leaders, you know, that have come out of Texas, and they end up there. Priest Holmes, I see him popping up right there. Thank you, RSC.
Priest Holmes, Jamal Charles, Cedric Benson.
Absolutely.
Ricky Williams, I mean.
Yep.
Dude,
yep.
When you talk about consistent running backs in the league, I kind of feel like Texas needs to be in that conversation.
They do. They do. I mean, because I guess OJ would have been, you know, in the early 70s right there. But, I mean, you factor in Earl Campbell. I mean, Earl Campbell was 76, 77, 78 in that era right there. So, and even in the lean times, Wags, Texas has had really good running backs. I mean, that's I know DBU has kind of gone away.
I wish we would have asked this question before Bucky got off. Remember, we got to remind, we got to ask Bucky this question tomorrow before we before he gets off and we can jump in and go in, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no. Just talking about those guys. I mean, the different great running backs that have come out of here and longevity. I mean, you've had guys that are, I mean, Jamal Charles, I mean, that have played in the league for a long time, you know, and done really good things. And Bradley,
if you can't pick up that we are being facetious and talking tongue in cheek, come on, man. You don't get the show.
but here's the thing. Here is the thing. When you talk about O.J. Simpson's football career, it's hard to not talk highly about the dude. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, he's one of the greats. He's one of the greats. He's in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
I'm sitting here dismissing his career and talking about his role as Nordberg. You guys think I'm serious?
Yeah, you know, it's like...
Actually, I kind of am. Like, I thought he was one hell of an actor.
He's a great actor and a great analyst, I'm telling you.
I just don't remember him as the Hertz commercial guy.
So. He was well-spoken. I mean, the dude... I mean, and like you said, dude, I mean, the acting, that whole trial, all of that, you go back and you look at it and some of the looks on his face and all that, you can't tell me that ain't shit that he didn't learn as an actor.
I don't know, Rodney. I honestly can't even remember the trial. That was kind of the point of asking the question. Is like, hey man, where the hell were you guys at on this day when you saw remember the white Bronco and OJ being arrested?
Well, and then the day you got acquitted. The day you got acquitted. Oh my Lord, that was. Oh,
well, we just gave 30 minutes to OJ Simpson. Are we good with that?
30 minutes.
We're gonna be able to move on and talk about something else. We will and we shall. But hey, before we do that, let's talk about audiovisual consultations. If you're watching a replay of OJ Simpson or if you're watching any type of sports that's going down now, if you want to find out who running back you is modern day, you got to do it with audiovisual consultations. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. For the past 35 years, they've been setting the standard in audiovisual automation. Get your chance to go right now and look at their website. Maybe you'll get an idea of what you want in your head. If you don't, then just come over to my house and check out the two TVs that I have, or go to BK's house and see the four TVs that he has. I'm not saying that you have an open invitation to BK's house, but you do got one of mine. So come on over and we'll party or whatnot. Anyways, do it Tom McKay style with audiovisual consultations. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. The very best in audiovisual automation.
Yeah, great time to have that set up right now as the Masters finally underway. How about a word?
Here we go, man.
Our great friends over in beautiful Bee Cave. It is Covert Bee Cave. We'll hear from them today.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert Bee Cave.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick GMC, Cadillac Chrysler, Dodge Jeep and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have three service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
It's 1909, Covert family serving generations of Texans and beyond. CovertBeCave.com. Check them out today.
Yeah, Rick, like I don't think people remember how dominating Ricky was as a running back. Mm-hmm. It's half the reason why I went to Texas, right? Like when I was at Maryland, there's this guy, I'm going to throw this dude's name out here. You guys don't know him, but a really good friend of mine back in the day, JT Smith, right? He was always probably the only dude from where we were at that was just in love and infatuated with the University of Texas. Planted the seed for me to go to the University of Texas. And honestly, he did that with the whole recruitment of Ricky Williams, getting me to watch Ricky Williams. I had no idea who Ricky Williams was, and he was really into college football. And he's like, dude, you got to watch this guy run. You've never seen anything like this dude run. Turned the TV on and saw the Texas Longhorns with freshman Ricky Williams, who looked like he was playing fullback at the time. And a few of the spouts was just impressive. And as a freshman, planting people on their ass, pancaking people, and then also taking the rock and being able to tote it for, you know, tremendous yardage and getting into the pay dirt. And then, hell, his career only flourished after that, right? Run, Ricky, run was the adage that you but always, you know, tout out or speak in your mind or whatnot or scream out as soon as the dude took the rock and started running, man. Shout out to JT Smith for getting me into Texas football and actually making that number one recruitment video to get me to go to the University of Texas was watching all the highlights of Ricky Williams, just run a montage of Ricky Williams just running the ball for 4 years. So, yeah. Man, I can't think of any other real iconic running back and I'll say that Ricky Williams is still modern day era running back, right? I can't remember somebody that left an impression like Ricky Williams has in college football. Even if you're talking about like the Georgia running backs and the Miami running backs.
Yeah.
Maybe Derrick Henry, but still not as polished and not as robust as Ricky Williams college player.
And I think with Ricky, you know, the fact that he broke Tony Dorsett's record that had stood for so long. And then, of course, it got broken. Who broke it? Ron Dane. Ron Dane broke it the following year. So I think that was a big thing right there. But Ricky's time here, you know, I remember when he came, the Hawaii game where he kind of debuted right there. And you're like, what in the hell is this?
Yeah,
and
what am I watching?
Yes.
What am I watching?
Yeah, it's like this dude is a machine. And the shit that he came out and did, man, it was unbelievable, his career here. And I know that, you know, in the NFL, there were some ups and downs and so forth. But he's a good one, too. If you go back and watch Ricky Williams, A Football Life, the documentary there on the NFL Network, that's a really good one to watch to see. When you look at his accomplishments in a career that, you know, starts out, he's starting New Orleans, and then there's a gap in there, then he's gone, and here he comes back, and there's all this back and forth. When you look at what Ricky really accomplished in the NFL, dude, he had one hell of an NFL career. Yeah.
Very the hiatus that he took, I mean, seriously, the hiatus he took to go into the Himalayas or wherever he was. Dude, yeah. I need to just have a 30-minute conversation with Ricky on his experience in the Himalayas. Like, just on survivability alone. Like, fuck football. Football. Well, I know what you did in football. I want to know what happened outside. I want to know what's going on up in your mind, my guy.
Yeah.
That's the conversation I want to have.
That dude, it's such an...
Right. Ruse, you're with me, my guy. 100.
Such an intriguing figure, man. You remember when he goes to New Orleans?
To the Himalayas.
He would go do the, you know, he would do the post-practice or post-game interviews. He wouldn't take his helmet off. You know, he had the shield, and it's like...
Yeah.
And now, social anxiety, all of that is very much understood. At that point, he's an asshole.
I think you can give credit, a lot of credit to Ricky Williams for kind of pioneering that, right?
I agree.
Making that come to surface for a lot of athletes.
Yep. Well, when folks want to talk about Ricky medicating himself, like what we're talking about now.
Who doesn't?
Why was he medicating
himself? Who doesn't?
Because he's dealing with shit, you know? So anyway, Wags, I got to tell you this. So this is so crazy.
What do you got to tell me, Roddy? What do you got to tell me?
So on the Twitter, on the X, I followed OJ. I still follow him. I think it's
very Twitter world.
Like every time that he would post something, I would make a stupid comment. And right now, people are retweeting all the stupid shit that I would say. Like he tweeted something and I said, great take. Keep slaying, my man. It's gotten 70 retweets. I fuck with him. I don't care. I don't know him. Hell, he ain't gonna find me. OJ, yeah. He tweeted something else out. I think he was at the golf course, and I replied to his tweet and I said, sounds like a killer time, buddy. And that's been that's been retweeted like 29 times in the last hour.
Hey man, the gift that keeps on giving, social media, my guys. Hey, so Mel Kiper's, you know, second mock draft is out, and we are in the month of draft season. It is we will have our NFL draft here. By the way, are we doing anything live? Are we going out the plug? You know what?
Man, I was hoping that we would get to do the pluckers ideas. Yeah, man.
We're gonna talk to BK. We're gonna see if we can do some live events.
Those were fun. Those draft things were fun. I got to do a couple of them.
They were really fun. And I loved mingling with the crowd. I loved drinking with the crowd. I loved, you know, just talking football with the crowd. Man, I wouldn't drink too much. We would just have ourselves a nice little old Wagner time.
Would.
That's for sure. Maybe two-handed a little bit. Get the Batmans going from Pluckers.
Yeah, we need to get that gig.
I think we can lock it in.
We got
all right. So we got 2024 Mel Kiper's first two rounds, Rodney. Have you seen this lately? Have you guys seen this?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Shocker, surprise, surprise. Caleb Williams is going to the Chicago Bears in number one. Jaden Daniels, however, to Washington. We've seen that a few times. Drake May, we've seen him to the Patriots. Here's the thing that I think the Patriots do. I think the Patriots actually take Jaden Daniels. I think they trade down to the Raiders. The Raiders jump up to drop to get Jaden Daniels, and then the Raiders take maybe Bo Nix, the Patriots take Bo Nix with the Raiders pick that they acquired from the trade up.
Moving back.
They'll move back and acquire Bo Nix. That's the Patriots move that I think they'll do. We'll see if it comes to fruition. They got Arizona taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
That hasn't changed. That's like since day one.
That seems to be locked in. Now there's a projected trade. Vikings use their extra first round pick to move up, all right? And in doing that, they take the fifth round pick and draft J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy with the steam rising. Draft stock has gone up, just transcended tremendously here, my guy. He is the fifth overall projected pick in Mel Kiper's draft board.
Yeah, since his pro day, it's been like, I mean, and he did. He had a very good
pro day. Did he pull a golden football out of his ass? What did he do for his pro day? Like, I saw him throw a ridiculous, on the run, going opposite from his throwing, and moving left, moving from right to left, and then throw a dart on the damn dime, 70 yards. But again, that's without pressure. That's without having to evade anybody coming at you. And that's with shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. I don't think it wasn't a golden football. I mean, he did good, but I think what he did really good that day is he had a silver tongue. That dude interviewed well. That dude talked to executives and coaches well. And I think that's the one thing that I've heard from some folks that I know on the inside towards, like, people are just so impressed with the way that he spoke and how he carried himself, which is important. I mean, that's going to be your franchise quarterback. Sure,
that's the face of your team. That's going to be the voice of your team, like it or not.
That's going to be what sells tickets. People can bitch about Dak Prescott all you want, but the dude's a stand-up guy. He speaks well, and that's what you need to do. That's a huge part of this, and that's what he did.
Yeah,
and
he appears to not do anything wrong, off the field. Doesn't bring a negative impact to your franchise or your organization.
Well, and I think Harbaugh, when Harbaugh moved on, I mean, Harbaugh helped in that as well, to where he helped sell him. And of course,
quarterback in college football, best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh is like E.F. Hutton. When Harbaugh speaks, people listen. So boom, I think a lot of good things for him there. But I mean, I don't go into Minnesota. Going to have some good weapons, but there could be worse landing spots.
He has an arsenal of weapons in terms of wide receivers, man. That backfield's a little, a little sluggish. It's kind of.
Well, they signed Aaron Jones. They signed Aaron Jones. So that.
But it's still how
he gets hurt a lot.
How good do you expect Aaron Jones to be in the first year with Minnesota? Like I or at least maybe with the first week or first. 4 weeks, the first quarter of football, you'd think that Aaron Jones struggles to find like a little bit of the chemistry, even though you go through a damn NFL workouts and mini camps and whatnot. I still feel like it's going to take you a little bit of time to kind of get on the same page with your new team.
Yeah, we'll see. But that seems to be pretty solid on that pick right there. Next up is your Giants, and man, your Giants have kind of been. I thought that there may be a quarterback thing there for the Giants, but now with Malik Nabers here, the wide receiver LSU.
I disagree with this. I say, if Joe Walt's available, the Giants need protection for Daniel.
They don't need that more than anything else. Yeah,
right. You've been pulling wide, and I get it. You need at least a first tier or a top tier wide receiver for Daniel Jones just to give him that weapon, right? But you're able to find decent weapons. I can't say decent weapons. I can't even say decent weapons with a straight face. You're able to find some gap bridges mm-hmm. at wide receiver, pulling them off the practice squad. So again, like that, you're not helping Daniel Jones that much with an arsenal there of ammo with wide receivers. But I mean, hell. I think when you have a chance, when you have a chance to get a tackle like Joe Alt, all right, the best tackle that's in this draft. I'm not trying to say that wide receivers are a dime a dozen, but man, this is a wide receiver rich. I would say it's a wide receiver rich draft than offensive lineman. I would say that there's more scarcity with the offensive line position in this draft than there is, you know, with wide receivers. This is a wide receiver heavy draft, and I also feel like it's kind of a running back draft too. Even though that you know everybody's putting a lot of limelight and a lot of spotlight on the quarterbacks here, I think it's all bad spotlight. I think it's bad lighting, you know, to not be too cute or too coy here. But yeah, man, it's I think you're getting sold a shit show for quarterbacks, and the real talent is the wide receivers. I think anybody can tell that it's a wide receiver heavy draft, man.
And I'm totally in agreement with you and unison.
Take
on
Joe
that.
Alt. If you're the Giants, you got to take Joe Alt.
You got to go to Joe Alt, and he's set to go to Tennessee right after that. But I mean, because the whole thing is, I mean, you're going to draft this guy, and the whole thing comes back to the wide receiver there with Neighbors. I mean, the question that I have is, you know, the capable quarterback that's going to be throwing the rock to him. I mean, and if the dude's getting pressured, I mean, you're going to run this dude across the middle, and you're going to get him killed.
It's also coming off an ACL too, so
yeah. So it's like
it's not looking good for the quarterback.
Yeah. So it's like if I'm Neighbors, I'm like, fuck, man, do I have to go there? Jeez. So I don't know, but Joe Alt to Tennessee.
And of course, look, man, the past couple of seasons, the Giants have drafted wide receivers. They just haven't been top tier wide receivers, if you will. So. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Who's distributing the ball? That goes back to who's distributing.
Right,
the ball.
Right. Yeah, it's a partnership, man. It's an absolute partnership, dude. So that lands us at the Atlanta Falcons. You guys know what I wish the Falcons would have done if they were able to trade up and go get Caleb Williams or whatnot. I thought that would have been a great landing spot. Be that as it may, that is not how it's going to turn out. Dallas Turner is the projected pick for the Atlanta Falcons, sitting at the outside linebacker for Alabama. Now, this is another guy that I wouldn't mind the Giants getting, but since the Giants just shored up a deal with Simmons, extending him for one more year, I thought Simmons was going to be out the door and leaving and going to Pittsburgh or one of the AFC teams that are looking to shore up their defense or whatnot. AFC North teams that are looking to shore up their defense. But shockingly, Simmons stays put. The Giants invest money well where they need to in that aspect. I thought Simmons was kind of like an experiment with him coming over from Arizona, right? You know, a kind of just a dynamic linebacker that really, you know, isn't too much of a rushing sense. Isn't going to give you too much of a rushing threat there. But, I mean, hell, you know, the dude can do pretty damn decent in coverage and kind of like a hybrid linebacker there. Almost, I won't call him, you know, one of those Urlacher speed linebackers, but the dude's got some wheels and he can get it for being a linebacker. So yeah, I think it was a good investment there, shoring up your defense there and looking into that. But now, man, the question still remains, what do you do with your wide receivers and what do you do with your quarterback? Because the Giants still can't figure that out. So
and this move for Atlanta, I mean, it's a great move for Atlanta. I mean, because what they've done, I mean, they've shored up, I mean, I guess, you know, the quarterback, Kirk Cousins. I mean, there you go. And then you already had all the other great pieces right there with the youngsters that you had there. But here you go. You address the defense, which you needed to, because they were horrible against the pass rush last year. So now you got yourself possibly have yourself a pass rusher right here from Alabama. So of these first few picks right here, taking all the whole Caleb Williams and all that right there, I think when you really look at team needs and what they've done in the offseason versus what they're looking to do in the draft, man, I think Atlanta with that pick is in a really good spot. Really good
and then
spot.
Chicago Bears are up again, and you'd like to think that Joe Alt's probably gone here, right? But if Joe Alt isn't gone, man, I'd want to think that you would be able to jump up and take Latham, you know, the tackle from Alabama. But a lot of people are penciling, or Mel Kiper's got Adunzi in here, penciled in to go to the Bears to help Caleb Williams with another wide receiver, you know, to help that arsenal. But I think with the moves that were made in the offseason, Keenan Allen coming over to the Bears. DJ Moore, you know, coming off the season that he had with Justin Fields, you'd think maybe they would try and invest into their offensive line to keep Caleb Williams upright, because that seemed to be the problem with Fields, right? He was seemingly running for his life at times. You want to shore up the security of your quarterback. You kind of do that with an offensive tackle. If you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears, you know, jump up and take Latham here. But we shall see. I know, you know, the Bears want to give all the success and all, you know, as much potential as possible to Caleb Williams and give him every bit and ounce of potential to succeed. So I guess you could argue that you do that with a wide receiver like Odunze, who's he's a top tier wide receiver. I mean, look at the year that he had with, you know, Penix spinning him the ball. And hell, man, I still think, you know, you take the safe route, you lay up here in terms of, you know, tribute to the Masters, throwing some golf terminology out there. You lay up here and you take yourself Latham and have yourself a nice little protection policy for the quarterback.
Caleb don't need protection, dude. That dude can do anything.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a lot different in the NFL, man. Everybody's on the same type of speed at the NFL.
That's what I keep hearing. I mean, he'll be fine. Yeah. Yeah. I love your point. Yeah. Justin Fields is no good. Well, he's no good when he's running for his life and getting hit. You know what I'm saying?
Justin Fields has just, I don't have the running back stat down. I don't remember correctly, but it's somewhere along the lines like he's got just as much rushing yards or even more rushing yards than Lamar Jackson has.
Yeah. Yeah. And different scenarios there where Lamar Jackson, it's by design. Justin Fields, it's like, holy shit, here they come. I got to go. Two different scenarios right there. Yeah. Justin Fields.
I love it, CB. I love it. Good pull there, man. You don't go 10 cup and go for it all. No, you're right. Good terminology there on the Masters, my guy. Good terminology. Hey, we got any updates? Do we have any updates on the Masters, Rodney?
They're back to I'm trying to watch on ESPN, and they're back to OJ. They're back to OJ covered. So let me go to Masters.
Must be a slow day in Augusta.
Let
me tell you something that's not, if it is a slow day in Augusta for you and you're looking to speed it up and kind of have a little bit more fun in your day, you got to get out there and play some pickleball, especially down there at the Baldwin South location right now, man. There's pickleball courts out there. It's demo days out there for Pick Sports gear right now. You got to go check it out. But also, you got to gear up with that designed sports gear that's right here in Austin. Look no further than Pick Sports Gear. Their equipment is crafted with precision and passion right here in the heart of our city, known for its loving sports and innovation. From the top-of-the-line paddles to premium accessories, they have everything you need to dominate the court in style. Plus, like I just mentioned, the demo days are happening right now at the Baldwin area down south on Lamar. So check it out. It's your chance to try out the latest gear firsthand and score exclusive deals. Check out the website for locations and details. I just told you that it's down at the Baldwin South location. Gear up with Pick Sports Gear today. Get ready because their clothing line drops this summer. Show off your Austin-made excellence on the pickleball court. Now, go play some picks. Go get some picks and go play some picks. Learn more at www.picksportsgear.com. That's www.pixsportsgear.com.
Danny Willett, I hope I'm saying that right, the sole leader, minus two through three holes at the Masters very early on. Again, they started later. Something that I'm interested to watch today with the Masters is, I think Tiger tees off, I think, about 3:30-ish or so our time. I don't know if he gets 18 holes in today.
Okay, so a prop bet that I saw with Tiger, how many fairways does he hit?
Well, I don't know.
Are you talking
the whole tournament or
no, off, yeah, from round one, how many fairways does Tiger hit off the tee?
Oh man, that's hard to say, because I can tell you that
over under, I'll give you over under 10 and a half.
I think it's probably over, but I think that depends on a lot today. Because let's say Tiger only gets to play 12 holes today.
You got
to
take that. I just gave you 10. Fair, I'm like, that number should be 13, right? You would think 13, maybe 14 and a half.
I'd say 15 or 16. But so if Tiger doesn't get to play 18 today, he's going to have to make that up tomorrow, because I think the weather's going to be fine. So, I mean, do we get in another situation where Tiger has to scratch? I mean, with his back and all this other stuff.
That's what I was going
to
ask. Like, how's his back doing?
I know. I mean, I know he gave up humping and all this other stuff before this, but I mean, I don't know.
What?
If
he gave up what?
Humping.
Sex.
Sex.
Now, see, I don't understand that. Now, I understand it if you're playing football, right? Because you want to keep, like, the testosterone levels up and everything. But I liked how do I say this properly without embarrassing my wife? I like to...
There's no way. Just do it.
I like to have every ounce of release drained the night before I go to the golf course because I like to be as relaxed as possible and not
no milk
about anything when I'm on the golf course. I like, and usually your knees are a lot better, your back's a lot better, right? After you get all that shit out of you. You know what I mean?
Better. So, you sleep better, right? You get a better night's rest. You're
in your zen moment. You know what I mean? You just feel like you know, nothing can bother you. You know, yeah, sure, go spend that, you know, spend that much money. I don't give a shit. You want to buy that? Let's
It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, everybody's better. Everybody's having a great day when that happens.
She gets go Amazon crazy. Guys,
he's having a great day, man.
So I've seen this a couple of different times during our show. We announced, or the network announced, I think it was April 1st, that Trey had moved on. You know, Trey's doing something different.
Dude, he's got stuff going on with ESPN, man. Like,
You know, I don't see...
He's booked on pods. Like, Trey is a very successful...
Trey's got a lot to do. Dude. Yeah, Trey's a very talented individual. I mean, so it's like...
There's no love lost here with Trey. It's the same... Like, Harge, you know, got a good spot, man.
I was texting with Hard this morning, and it's like everybody still gets along.
We all love each other, man. We're all going to Costa Rica, man, you know. So,
you know, and I know some folks were posting when Aaron went to the 102, and it's like, good for Aaron. I mean, it's probably a good thing that he left the other place. I mean, good for him. I mean, they're building something there, and that's great. I mean, they've got a good lineup over there. Good for them. I mean, the more
There's no love lost here, man. Everybody's it's shiny, happy, you know, people here, REM style.
Yeah. So just a kind of a programming note. So I'm going to be gone tomorrow and Monday. So these guys have been made aware of that.
Yeah.
So
Women weak in the legs, Edward Ramos. Women weak in the legs. You're absolutely right. They make your knees weak.
So when I'm gone tomorrow, y'all don't think that I got fired. Of course, when I come back, they may tell me you don't have a job here no more. But that's not the current plan.
Over my dead body. I love Keenan Womack. We're going to have Keenan Womack come on as spell for Rodney. But as much as I love Keenan, I wouldn't do this show without you, my guy.
Oh, dude,
we have set ourselves one hell of a precedent here for Chaos Theory.
I tell you, we knew that this was going to be – I knew this was going to be really good. But –
Well, we've been trying to get this going for a couple of years now, but the radio station wouldn't allow us to have him because they needed you to carry Saturdays and me to carry Sundays. So
So here we are dropping F-bombs, even though we're trying to limit that a little bit. And nobody said anything about that. We're just trying to do that on our own here.
Before we get out of here.
Oh, that's right. We got to tell you about Autograph. And guys, I'm telling you, next Thursday, a week from today, there will be an $8 pair of tickets for that Texas-Michigan ball game. That right there. That's $4 a piece, guys. Even I can do that math. Lockhart educated. 4 + 4 = 8. That's next Thursday on the Autograph app. If you want to get rewarded for listening to Texas Sports Unfiltered, our friends there at Autograph, co-founded by the congressman, Tom Brady. What does that tell you?
You're batting 1,000 a day, my guy. You're batting 1,000.
They are redefining the fan experience for users and how you get rewarded for your fandom. And part of your fandom is listening and watching us right here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. So guys, all you got to do, exclusive merchandise, those tickets that I'm talking about, that's next Thursday that they're going to drop that pair for $8, guys. So you'll want to get that done. You're already listening to TSU, so go ahead and get rewarded for it. You know, some of this stuff you got to sit through when Wags and I are rambling on about the juice is loose for 30 minutes, get rewarded for it. And all you got to do is check out the YouTube link down at the bottom. That takes you to the Autograph app is right there. You can also go to your Google Play Store or to the iTunes Store. And all you got to do is search Autograph and use the referral code TSU to get rewarded. Got to use that referral code TSU for the $8 tickets that are going to be coming up.
Go ahead and get it in there while you can, man. We got a lot of contestants so far, so make sure you get it in there. All right, continuing this conversation with Mel Kiper's draft board here, right? His mock. We left off with Latham getting selected by the Chargers. That was in a mock trade with Minnesota. That's where Arizona would have landed, or excuse me, the Cardinals, the Chargers would have landed after that trade that they took in agreement with Minnesota. Now, Denver Broncos. They're taking Quinion Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo there at the number 12 spot. That's where Kuiper's got that. Now Vegas, right? Vegas sits here at 13, but remember my scenario that the Patriots could do, right? This could potentially be where the Patriots at. So Kuiper's got Falga. Falga from Oregon State. Now, a lot of people have Falga over Latham, you know, some people have, you know, Falga over Latham. And also Fasano, like they got two tackles going right back to back after this. Alu Fasano from Penn State. You guys know how dominant he was in the Big Ten this year. He's fantastic. This is a name, probably top three too, but he's fallen, you know, at fourth on the draft board in terms of tackles for Kuiper here. So again, this could all fluctuate and change at the end of the month. We'll see how that happens. But they got New Orleans Saints taking him. Now remember, the aforementioned Patriots that we were talking about with Drake May, they could potentially be here at this spot and take a Bo Nix. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's not what Mel Kiper's thinking.
Yeah, you know, I really thought, because Kuiper had been pretty strong with Bo Nix going to Denver, and I think maybe like you're talking
about.
He was
also a big one for Shanu. Like he had Fashanu at two for a while, at the second rated tackle for a while, and now he does. He got him at four.
Yeah. So with that happening, I mean, that really goes back to your really good point right there, that if Denver really has their eyes on Bo Nix, I mean, if New England wants Bo Nix, do it, make the move. So I was really surprised to see the change right there. And I did read that Kuiper said he wanted to go Bo Nix to Denver, but he goes the other direction. So, yeah, little bit of a shakeup right there.
Scrolling down. So you get the first Longhorn off the board in Kuiper's projection at 18 to the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's Byron Murphy. Murphy going over Sweat. Now, of course, I don't know, when was this article released here?
This was after the weekend.
Okay.
I think this was
okay. So that's,
yeah, I'm gonna find Sweat.
That's gonna take a toll on Mel's projections, I would assume. So yeah, the Bengals taking Murphy, and then after that, the Rams looking to get busy on the outside linebacker position, taking Leatu Leitu from UCLA, hometown kid staying in the hometown area there. And then Pittsburgh Steelers, Kuiper's got the Steelers taking Graham Barton, the guard/center out of Duke. And, I'm gonna err a little bit of caution to the Pittsburgh Steelers here. You're taking a Duke football player. Just so everybody, you know, you're taking a Duke. I'm telling you right now, because I got a Duke football player on the Giants.
You're taking Christian Laettner.
That's not even funny. I'm kidding. That's hilarious. You're getting that type of caliber of athlete.
Yeah.
And you're getting a Daniel Jones on your roster.
Yeah.
Kidding. Well, but you're getting somebody from Duke. I highly advise against that.
Well, they were better this year. They were better this year.
Quality of opponent. At the beginning of the season, they were all right. They were all right. At the beginning of the season. Then, the competition started. The ACC started catching up to them. And if the ACC is catching up to
real
them,
damn
we
quick.
We got some problems. Speaking about ACC talent, Jared Verse, the defensive end from Florida State, he is projected by Mel Kiper to go to the Miami Dolphins. And then Philadelphia Eagles just getting rid. I mean, the Eagles just seem to knock it out of the park. And this kind of fits the Eagles, right? Because they need to shore up their secondary here. How about Nate Wiggins from Clemson? Nate Wiggins from Clemson going to be penciled in there from Kuiper at 22 going to Philadelphia. And then, Texas stud gets on the board here. Zay Worthy is projected by Mel Kiper here at 23 going to the Los Angeles Chargers via trade through Minnesota, Cleveland, Houston.
That's a need. That's a need.
Do you think Worthy goes over? Do you think Worthy goes over Mitchell?
I'd go AD Mitchell before I went.
I feel like Mitchell gets drafted in terms of wide receivers over Worthy. Like Worthy's got undeniable speed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speed that can't be taught.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I feel like, and again, this isn't a slight to Worthy, because I feel like he's an NFL talent 100%. But I feel like Mitchell is a prototype.
Oh yeah, and Mitchell is much.
Mitchell
more...
reminds me of Michael Thomas coming out of college. Yeah.
Mitchell is much better for what you lost with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I mean, he fills that void a hell of a lot better than X-Man. But again, I mean, they're both great, but I mean, I go AD Mitchell right there. And then the Cowboys, now there's a need right there. Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, Guyton.
You need that. You need that, especially if you're all in on your quarterback, if you really are all in on your
quarterback. Yeah, Adonai Mitchell still projected bottom of the first round to the Lions. Now, that's a good spot for Mitchell. Now, you want to talk about a place where he could flourish in a surging Detroit Lion team with arguably Jared Goff, a guy that seems to like it feels like Jared Goff has figured it out. It really does. Like it really does. Like I know that he used to get a lot of a lot of flack or whatnot in his early years because he would make some really stupid throws like that. The coin phrase Jared, or that's there's typical Jared Goff throwing the ball late over the middle. Doesn't seem to be doing that anymore. It seems to be, you know, making the right decisions and going through his progression trees, quickly and astutely. So,
yeah.
Look, if you're asking me, I think Jared Goff is probably top five and has solidified himself as top five, maybe top seven, seven quarterback to be safer, you know what I mean, in the NFL.
Yeah, and clutch, and you add a weapon right there. And the good part about this for AD Mitchell is, you get to play your home games inside. I mean, your home games are in the whatever it's called, the Ford, whatever. So you play inside. I mean, you got to go to Chicago, Green Bay.
You're in a dome. You can say you're in a dome.
You're in a dome. You got to go to the frozen tundra of Lambeau. How about that quarterback, Kool-Aid McKinstry, going to Baltimore? That solidifies and makes that defense even better with the Alabama cornerback and the coolest name in the draft.
Cool. I gave him the nickname Burnt Orange Kool-Aid because it felt like Worthy and Mitchell had his number that year or that day at, week two when we played these guys. And then Xavier Legette for South Carolina. I hope I said his name correctly. And then Rosengarten to the San Francisco 49ers. That seems like a 49ers pick to shore up their offensive line to make sure that they can continue to plow the road for Christian McCaffrey or whoever is, spelling Christian McCaffrey in that backfield. Yeah, that rounds out. That's the first round of Mel Kiper. We can get into
Before we go, I want your thoughts on what it says about the beginning of day two. Look at the beginning of
with
day
the Giants,
two.
Giants, yeah, I know. Like, I still...
That's your dude right there.
I don't think he's going to be there. And I think there's a paywall on this. So I'm sure that most of our listeners and subscribers can't see it. But what Rodney is alluding to is that there is a projection that one Bo Nix, because you didn't hear me call his name, right? One Bo Nix could be going to the New York Giants in move of a trade. And I'll leave you with that tease because we'll talk about that on Monday when Rodney comes back. I won't spoil it. We'll talk about it on Monday. I might flirt around with it tomorrow with T.I. I might edge Keenan a little bit with it.
Yeah, kind of nudge
him a little bit of an edge.
And for Texas fans and Cowboys fans, like we were talking about there with Harrison Jr. being number four at Arizona, here it is again, 56. I mean, there's J.B. John Brooks going to the Cowboys as a running back, and that one – I mean, I've seen that in a lot of different places to where that seems to be a match made in heaven. Lord knows that is a need, especially if you can go get your offensive tackle out of Oklahoma in the first round. Boom, there's the running back thing. Pair him with what you got left, and boom, let's go. Working through the draft. Let's not go find any free agents or anything.
Seems to be the cheaper way to do it, right? Apply your problems to the draft, or
it really is.
Supplement your problems to the draft. Hey, CB. So I have been watching X-Men 97. The last episode, I haven't seen the last episode yet. So, or this past recent episode yet. Full transparency, I was up till probably like 4:30 in the morning last night watching Fallout. So, if any of you guys have Amazon Prime, there is a parody. There's a video game out there, a video game series and franchise called Fallout, right? It's been fantastic. Fallout 1, 2, 3, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 76. It is one of my favorite stories and series in terms of video games, done by Bethesda Game Studios. And now they have a parody, not a parody, but a show out on Amazon Prime that you can watch every episode. First season's out, 10 episodes, and I got through about 5 of them, and I forced myself to turn it off. I probably would have stayed up until we went live, but I would have been just nothing but blah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't been able to think. But yeah, man, Fallout is It is sensational. Of course, you guys know I'm into really, I'm in the post-apocalyptic scene. I swear by it. Like, when it does happen, be on my team because my team's going to win. That's all I got to say. And whose side am I on? I'm on my side. Like, my side will win.
As we get ready to bring, Jeff on, Van Ruyen, Willett, Bryson DeChambeau at -2, very early in the first round of the match.
Jeff, how are you feeling,
brother? Been worried about you, man.
We bring on Professor X right now from X-Men.
A little bit. I didn't get a haircut. I got a clean shave though.
You look good. You look clean, Mac.
Man.
How you feeling, man? You feeling better?
I don't know what I had, man. The doctor narrowed it down to like something, either an electrolyte imbalance, vertigo, which I've never dealt with. Wow,
vertigo.
Yeah.
Were you discombobulated?
Totally.
Holy shit! Were you in the water?
Huh?
Were you in the water at all? You didn't go diving or anything like that?
No, no. Or it was the start. I did have some drainage in my left ear, so they said it could have been the start of an ear infection.
Ear infection?
But I'm on, man, if it's got the word, I texted this to our group last night, man, if it's got the word anti in front of it, I'm probably taking it right now. So,
well, man,
that's good, man. This is the first day in about a week that I haven't felt like foggy upstairs.
Right. I'm glad you're getting some relief at all. You know what I mean? Yeah, but dude, you know, great to have you back, you know, in the lineup. That's for sure, man. But yeah, dude, good to see your face too, bro.
Yeah. It got to the point, man, where anytime you just sit up in bed and it feels like everything is spinning and gross. You know, yeah, dude, it's bad.
That's only on the weekend.
Glad you're feeling better, bro.
Yeah. Thank you, Wags. I tried to, that's the only thing I could compare it to, Rodney. It's just like, I didn't have a single sip of alcohol, but it's like you get the worst hangover ever.
Bless. Yeah. And you can't drink enough water when that happens either. So,
that's a great question.
As you get older, your plumbing doesn't work as good as it once
did.
Mine does. It flowed great.
Mine don't, man. We ain't even going to talk about that. That's a different conversation.
I've been, yesterday when I started to kind of turn a corner a little bit, dude, I felt like I was peeing every 5 minutes. So,
yeah.
I feel like I got to go pee every 5 minutes, but nothing comes out. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Were you live? Were you live during OJ?
That was 94. Would have been 94.
Hell no. I was born December 2002. I wasn't even a thought yet.
Jesus.
Yeah. You're younger than my kid. Well, you're
I was
you're
in the Marines older. Already. Jordan, I was in the Marines already at that time.
Shit, I'm 21. I don't know what else to tell you.
Keep you away from my daughters, man. You're right in between their ages. Jeez Louise.
you want to bring a guy like Jordan to your daughters, Rodney.
Yeah.
Jordan can boost your family up, let me tell you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right, boys, I got to get out of here, man. I got to, speaking about peeing, going to the bathroom and nothing coming out, I got to make that attempt right now. So you guys out of here, man. Y'all have a great time. I'll be paying attention to you guys on this Thursday, man. Happy Longhorn Day. Yay. I got to pee.
All right, boys. I'll see y'all here in a little bit.
All right, Rodney.